What does the Bible say about conversion? Do you know the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? You know, I was talking to a lady several years ago out in the state of California, and in the course of our conversation, she said, I've been told so many different things to do. She said, I really don't know whether I'm coming or going. And I said, I am sure that this is a confusing factor to your mind, and she said, that's to say the least. But I suggested to her, as I will to you on the broadcast today, that she consider what the Bible had to say on the subject of conversion. People may be very honest in the world today as they tell us that I did this to become a Christian, or I did something else. But the factor is that God's Word, as we told you last time, not alone tells us what God wants us to do, but He tells us how it can be done. We're going to come back in a few moments to talk to you about Bible truth, knowing your Bible, upon what it says about conversion. But let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer on the broadcast today. We don't do this as often as we probably should, but let's take time out to pray to God at this time. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come unto Thee with a grateful heart today that Thou hast spared our lives. We're thinking right now, Father, of how wonderful it is that Thou hast told us in Thy Word how we can be saved from our sin, how we can be born again, how we can become a new creature in Christ. And we trust as we sound this gospel forth, there'll be many listening today, those who are away from the Lord that will seek to find the course that God has made clear in His Word. Yes, the entrance of Thy Word will give understanding to us, Father. It will cause us to know if we do not know at the present time. It will tell us how to become children of God. We pray for those who make this broadcast possible, that they may continue to sound forth Thy truth. Be with them in their endeavor to serve Thee, Father. Be with those who are in sin. And we also pray today for those who are ill, those wherever they might be, in nursing homes, hospitals, convalescent homes. We pray for those who are in sorrow because of the loss of loved ones. And also our prayer goes out for our nation and nations of the world. May men know that the truth of how to live with one another is clearly found in Thy Word. May they seek first to come to have peace with Thee, and then see clearly to live at peace with their fellow man. Help us now, Father, as we open Thy Word and study therefrom. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. I was thinking especially of Christ saying to Nicodemus in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And then explaining to Nicodemus how spiritual this was when he said that one must be born of the water and the Spirit, as we have there in the 5th verse of that 3rd chapter of John. I am not as smart as many people in the world, and I want to make this clear to you, but we realize that the knowledge that truly is found in God's Word goes far beyond the greatest knowledge that men can have in this life. I want to look at this subject of how to be converted to Christ, or how to be born again, from a different standpoint. One man told me recently after we talked on this subject, he said, you approach the subject of the new birth from the back door. Well, I thought that was quite interesting. You see, we're not going to go to the writings of men. We're not going to find out what men say that we ought to do to become Christians, because this can confuse the scene. How many books have you seen in a library, or perhaps in a religious bookstore, that had to do with the new birth? And if you read those writings, which may have been offered by honest men or women, you may have found some of the things to be the same, but there would be different ideas. These many times become hardly more than the opinions of men. But you see, if we want to know how to be born again, how to be converted to Christ, let's go to the Word of God. Let's take the actual accounts that are found in the Bible that deal with conversion to Christ. If I want to know how a person is born of the water and the Spirit, I need not spend time in discussing what the birth is of the water and the Spirit, even though that might have its place. But why not go to an actual account of conversion and find what the people did to be saved from their past sins? When I find out what they did, then I'll find out how to be born again. And it will harmonize perfectly with the birth of the water and the Spirit. In the 8th chapter of Acts, we have the conversion that is so well known to many of you who listen. I am sure there are people out of Christ who listen today that have heard the story and perhaps read it of the conversion of the man from Ethiopia. Let's pick up the thought here now in the 26th verse of the 8th chapter of Acts. If you don't have a Bible handy, just write that reference down. It's in the 8th chapter. You could read the whole 8th chapter, but I'm beginning with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, who was an evangelist, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he, referring to the evangelist Philip, arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, who was an evangelist, a Christian, ran thither to the chariot, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, Do you understand what you're reading? And the man in the chariot from Ethiopia, this man who was an official from that country, said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now there's no doubt that Philip is going to have an opportunity to tell this man who believes in God, but nothing has been mentioned about Christ, what to do to be born again, how to truly be converted to Christ. You see, he already believes in God. And there are a lot of people today who believe there's a God, but they're not converted to Christ. And I want to make it clear on this broadcast today, on this side of the cross, we absolutely, in the light of the Bible, cannot come to God unless we come by Jesus Christ. Remember that wonderful scripture in John 14 and 6? When Jesus announced that I am the way, the truth, and the life, then he said, No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we must come by Jesus Christ. In this accounting, as you read on, you'll find that the man was reading from what we understand to be today, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was reading about a sheep and a lamb, and he was reading about a generation. He is reading about judgment. He's reading about a man's life being taken from the earth. Whether he knew that this was talking about Jesus or not, he simply asked the question to the preacher Philip. Is the prophet talking about himself or some other man? Verse 35 is the beginning of the main part of this conversion. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This is requisite. Whatever the question is, wherever we start in the Bible, this is requisite that Christ be preached. You see, the wonderful teaching came down to the apostles at Pentecost, and they passed it on to others, and they imparted the Spirit teaching. And as this teaching came down here to this man, Philip, as he was came down to the man in the chariot, through the preaching of Philip, he definitely found out what to be born again. In 1 Peter, you'll find a very wonderful teaching there in the first chapter, where it tells us in the 23rd verse, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God must be preached, and it is preached here. We don't know how long it continued on, but they went on their way, and they came into a certain water. And a man from Ethiopia said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He went down into the chariot, or went out of the chariot, down into the water, and was baptized. He came up out of the water, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now I'm led to believe, friends, that this man was born again. There was a spirit teaching, there was an immersion in water, and together these two comprised a birth of the water and of the Spirit. When you take the other accounts in the conversion, like the account of the 3,000 at Pentecost, you will find that Peter told those people in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These people certainly heard the word, they believed it, they turned from their sin and repentance, they were baptized. For in Acts 2:41, it says, Then they that gladly received his word, that's the gospel, these individuals were baptized into Christ Jesus. The Lord added them to the number of people who already believed in Jesus, and the first congregation of the Lord's church became a reality. When you read earlier in the chapter 8 of Acts, you find the people of Samaria hearing, believed, and were baptized, as well as Simon. Saul of Tarsus heard the proclamation, he truly believed it, and he was baptized, he said in Acts 22:16, to wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In the case of Cornelius, he heard what God had commanded the Apostle Peter to preach. And finally, in the 48th verse of that 10th chapter, his conversion was complete, for he was told to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It was a commandment. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. The same was true with Lydia of Thyatira. In the 16th chapter of Acts, in verses 14 and 15, and later in the same city, in a prison, the Philippian jailer was baptized the same hour of the night. The Corinthians in Acts 18:8, along with apparently Crispus, did believe, and they were baptized after hearing the word of God and believing it. So what I'm saying to you on the broadcast today is to be born again must include what the word of God teaches. Consider this in the light of what the Bible teaches. I do want to say, if you have questions, feel free to send them in. Ye must be born again. There can be no hope of eternal life without being born of the water and the Spirit. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ bring you this broadcast to help you and your entire family come to know more about what it means to be converted to Christ. We trust that you'll hear the word, believe it, and obey it. Tell a friend about this broadcast. Be with us next time. And may God bless us all as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.